for the Reclaim Your Inner Throne body of work. So I'm really excited. It's a milestone for me. I haven't been doing communication with my tribe very much like this at all. And I'm looking forward to seeing what might come out of it. I want to get to know you guys more. I want to know what's moving in your lives. I want to get a feeling for, you know, just the lives of men around the world and the challenges that you're having, the things that you're thinking about, the desires that you have, whatever it is that's moving inside of you. And my wish is to in some way be a support in that process. And I know Max and Carlotto, who are also here, are very dedicated to the same thing. Yeah, so we call this hangout Power, Purpose, and Intimacy, exploring three pillars of masculinity through an archetypal lens. These three pillars came from a chat that we had in the team. I'm familiar with them already, but when Max brought them up, I realized how essential they are and how when I've been talking to men as a coach and also in enrollment conversations for this Reclaim Your Inner Throne training, I've consistently faced these three. So I thought that it might be a lot of fun and exciting to see what might come out of all of us exploring this together. So just a little bit about, you know, what we're doing here and the context for the conversation. So we're going to be going for anywhere between 60 and 90 minutes. You're obviously free to leave whenever you want. I think you want to stay. At the end of the call, I'm going to give you a very discounted offer to be part of the Reclaim Your Inner Throne training. There will be no obligations to take it. I will not be disappointed or angry or hurt in any way. But I think that what we're going to experience together today might inspire you in that regard, moving towards that decision. And at the end, you'll get a discount code and a URL where, yeah, you'll get a sweet deal on this training. So you'll have to stick around until the end to get that. In the meantime, you know, what we'll be spending time on is I will be talking for a little while now, and I'll bring Carlotto and Max in. They have been part of the previous round of this training, so they have a lot of experience with being participants of the work. And I really like the idea of having someone who's a participant and not, you know, the creator. Obviously, I'm going to say it's great, you know, but these guys have experienced it and I want them to bring it in, their experiences. And I also want to speak with you towards the second half of this call. So if you have any questions, please start typing them out in the chat, and Max will be monitoring those. And let's see, I'm going to enable the sound for Max and Carlotto again. So Max and Carlotto, you're now audible.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Good. Yes, I'm here.
Cool. So we're going to present ourselves a little more after we drop in together.
Right.
So what's always really important to me when we do, shall we say, work of any kind, when we are in the business of transforming how we're showing up in the world. And we're doing it in a container or a group of men. I always want to tap into the source first. So right now, even in that moment of silence just now, something probably became louder inside of you. So let's spend a couple of minutes getting intimate with what's moving. There seems to be a little bit of background noise with you, Max or Carlotto.
Okay, is it something from the dishes?
Yeah.
It's here. Just a second.
Okay. Yeah, don't mind 10 minutes pause. The alarm for my dinner.
It's my son doing the dishes.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I gave him an hour break. So
yeah.
He can
I'm sure he'll complain. Don't I do the dishes, Dad? Right on.
Good.
Let's close our eyes, men, for a little while.
Thank you.
Moving into presence and connection. So just find a comfortable place for you to be sitting. In a state of stillness and contemplation for a few minutes. You might want to just let the breath move organically, becoming present to it, not forcing it. And then just start feeling into the body. Particularly those places where you can feel a sense of connection between yourself and your surroundings. Be it your ass on the chair, your back on the chair, your feet on the floor. What's the quality of that meeting, that dialogue in this moment? Feel into the conversation that's going on right now between you and your surroundings. Even now, you are connected to thousands of things in your immediate vicinity. And you can choose to be in conversation with it, or you can choose to pretend as if it's not real and stay in disconnection. Allowing yourself to just drop deeper into yourself. And see what it's like at the center of your heart right now. This is the seat of your sovereignty in the work of reclaiming your inner throne. This is your inner throne in your heart. In order for you to be fully in life, you need to be sitting on that one. In order for you to be in the dialogue with your surroundings, that throne has to be, in a way, claimed by you. That's what we're about here. Claiming that for yourself and for the world. So, as you just feel into the stillness of being right now in this moment, or whatever sounds that may actually be around you as well, whatever is true in this moment, let your awareness start to really move out from your center at the center of your heart and move out, out, out into the room, out of the house, into the city or the village or whatever you're in. Your consciousness fills your country. Moves out, and as it does so, you may find that somewhere right now, a man is being murdered. A child is being born. A man and a woman are having sex for the first time. Somewhere in Africa, a child soldier may right now be cutting the arms off an innocent because they have been told that that is what they should be doing with their lives by men who are fucked in the head. Because they haven't been blessed by kings. There's so much in this moment that we can choose to be in connection with. And whenever you feel lonely and depressed, disconnected, in pain, this is here for you to experience. Just a couple of breaths before we move on. You might feel heavier, like you're filling up more of your skin. Or you might be experiencing something completely different. Whatever is true is okay. Okay, men. Whenever you're ready, you can open your eyes and just shake it out a little if that feels good to you. And let's just return to this moment and this computer that's in front of us. Right on. Arsim just arrived. Welcome, Arsim. Very good. That felt good to me. What about you, Max?
Absolutely. I just feel completely connected, grounded, wide awake.
Sounds like your life matters in this moment.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Okay, let's introduce ourselves a little bit before we move on. So, since this is a conversation that we're having just with friends in the inner tribe, Most of you probably already know me. I'll just share one or two words about myself. So my name is Eivind Figenskau Skjellum, and I'm a Norwegian man. I've been very much taken by this topic of masculinity for many years now. And if you wonder why, you can find the reason for that in the report that is on innerthrone.com. But it was, I think it's about six, maybe even more than 6 years ago now, that I just realized that I didn't know what it meant to be a man. And that kind of bothered me, that nobody had told me. And that masculinity was like a foreign word that didn't make sense to me. And all of a sudden, my whole life changed from being focused on spiritual development and, mainly spiritual development, actually, into being really engaged with, you know, the more instinctual realms of understanding what power and intimacy and sexuality and what are all these things really about for me. So I started masculinitymovies.com mainly as a result of my own lostness. Here's the thing which is peculiar, and I think is like a principle of life, is that in giving a voice to my own lostness, I started becoming a go-to guy for other men who felt lost, who maybe hadn't given that voice yet. And more I started to become a person that was being seen as an authority on this subject. And quite recently, I started building on this work that I've been doing with masculinitymovies.com and also a big community of authentic relating here in Norway called Authentic Norway, where we'd been working with archetypes. I finally cracked the code on how to get this work into more of a cohesive journey of transformation, and thus the Reclaim Your Inner Throne body of work was born. And that's really how I came to know Max and Carlotto, who are currently my assistant course leads, and they were on the last round. So how about you just introduce yourselves briefly, Carlotto?
Yes, thank you. Well, yeah, my name is Carlotto. I'm also from Norway, but I live in Denmark. I'm 52 years old, and I've been working as a coach for men for 6-7 years. It all started with me being broke 14 years ago in my marriage breakdown, and since then I've been working with myself and with everything I can get a hand on useful strategies, NLP, systemic training, you name it, everything, therapy, Prozac, depression, stress. I've been fired. I've been a single father for 14 years and had to struggle my way out of my own shit. And I started my own business 6 years ago as a men's coach, and I'm so proud to be part of this island. It's really amazing. This is it for me. Last autumn, the training, like it brought all the pieces together for me, and really I felt really congruent in all the missing links were showing up, and I really have to face everything, and I got my whole plate perfect served. It's I feel great. Yes.
I like that image. I'm smiling wide.
Yes. I could tell a lot of about the training itself and my growing purpose and my growing power and my growing heart and how they united. But I shut up now. I have to listen to the other guys. I'm so excited. I'm really, really excited about this. Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm nice. I'm here, guys. Totally psyched to be a part of this. And my story starts with being separated from my wife and basically same thing, 23-year marriage. A lot of stuff started to burn for me all at the same time. My daughter was diagnosed as being bipolar schizophrenic, and it was a disaster of the highest level. And I was dealing with a lot of addictions and a lot of self-pity and a lot of passivity. And a buddy of mine loaned me some CDs where the coach on the CD was talking about deep inner game. And he started saying, if a man grows older but never grows up, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a man? And I sat there crying while sipping scotch, realizing I didn't know the first thing about being a man, and no one had ever told me. And I started going to sit with a Buddhist monk at a Quaker church and sit in meditation and try to figure out what was going to work for me and what the next part of my life was going to look like. And I got involved in the Mankind Project and started sitting in men's circles and started studying everything I could get my hands on about shadow and personal development. And my story is very similar to these other men. And what happened for me in the fall is I had been following Ivan's work and had read Robert Moore's stuff, and I had read Robert Augustus Masters, and I just didn't have a way to make it practical. I was, you know, still sort of on the fringes of Mankind Project, but not as engaged as I wanted to be, but I just didn't feel like I had it under the hood. This training became a catalyst and a lens for me to put it together and bring the pieces together in my life that were so disjointed that I just couldn't get it, and I got it differently. I got it in my body. I got it by putting my heart and my balls and my mind together for the first time. And what this affords all of us that are on this call is an opportunity to explore the essence of masculinity with a man who I believe has been there, done that, and is like a guide to that territory. And I have tremendous respect for Carl Otto and also tremendous respect for Ivan for pioneering this work. And I'm excited and I'm honored to be here, man.
Thank you, Max.
Absolutely.
I feel like a strong impact right in the middle of my heart center when both of you are speaking. Like I'm touching in again, as I have so many times before, to the place where it just deeply matters what we're doing here. Yes, so I'd really like to hear your voices, guys. We don't have time to do a full check-in, but what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be muting you. I'm going to try for pandemonium. I'm going to unmute everyone, and if you could just say your name and where you're from. And this might not work, but I'm unmuting everyone now. Someone go first, Arsim. Is this a bunch of very silent men, or what's happening?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, okay, lovely. My name is Matthew. I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida. United States.
Great to have you, Matthew. Welcome.
Welcome.
Yes, hello, I'm David Pilbeck. I'm from Stockholm.
Hi, David. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Chris Cavador from Los Angeles.
It's like Chris. Nice.
Chetel from Norway.
Hey, Chetel.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello, Liam from the UK.
Hi, Liam.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, my name is Sigurd. I'm from Norway.
Sigurd.
Did you hear me?
Yes. Welcome.
Hi. Hello, my name is Justin. I'm from Oakland, California. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Welcome, Justin.
What's up, brothers?
Hi.
I like that voice.
Thank you. Yeah, it's got a lot of bass.
Yeah.
Okay, it's Christian. I'm from Norway.
Hi, Christian.
Hey, Christian.
Hi.
An Inner Throne alumni member.
Yes. Hello.
I'm Nico, and I'm from Norway, too, if you can hear me.
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes. Welcome, Nico.
Thank you.
So there are a few more men who haven't spoken. I'm going to set aside around 1 more minute for this.
I am Johan, and I'm from Copenhagen. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, yeah. I hear you, Johan. Yes.
Every one of you asked, and we can all hear you. Yeah.
It works.
It does. Technology, yay. Okay, this is
Martin Andre from Canada.
Great. Hi, Martin.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, Vin.
Yes.
Yes. Hey, hi, now finally. Hi, here's Arsim from Switzerland, also coach for men. And I know I have already the pleasure to be in contact with Avin, right?
Welcome. Good to have you here.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. So, speak now, forever hold your peace.
You wish.
That made something move. Okay. Well, what I'd like is to keep the chat open for like a check-in, and if you have 2 words about your feeling state, then you could just type them into the chat so I have a sense of where you're at emotionally. I just really like to have more of a sense of like the quality of the presence in the audience, which is way harder when I can't see you. And yeah, so feel free to touch or type in some words down there. I'd really appreciate that. So before we move on to this, I'm going to mute everyone apart from Max. Let's see, Max and Carlotta, you're still unmuted. I'm actually at my mother's place now. I come here more often because my father, he died in February. And a lot of this work somehow feels connected to my father and the death of my father. When I came here today, I was quite, a little unsettled. I have had a stressful day and some health stuff happening. So I went for a walk in the woods, and this part of the woods was very important for me in my childhood. There used to be a path, narrow path that I would walk on, and then I would end up at this very particular spot in the woods that was sort of like overhanging the farmlands, there's a field and a farm there. There is this particular formation with rocks and some beautiful pine trees that I would always find myself sitting down at. It was almost like a sacred spot for me. And once I became a meditator, I would frequently take my meditation cushion and go and sit there for an hour, you know, just looking out at the green fields and the sky, and it's quite a beautiful landscape. And there is just one feature of that landscape in particular that I was again reminded of today that I want to bring in here as a metaphor for the work that we're doing. And, oh, I'm feeling emotional all of a sudden. My dad wrote a book that featured an oak tree that looked almost exactly like that one. And in sitting and looking at that oak tree, it's, for some reason, the oak trees in this area, they're always standing solemnly on their own. But they're magnificent trees. They're like majestic and gnarly, and the branches are twisting and turning. They have so much more character and soul than any of the birches and pine trees. And I was looking at this tree, and actually in the archetypal system that we're using here, there is like the tree itself is used as a symbol for the lover archetype. It's actually the tree of life. If you've watched The Fountain, for instance, you probably get this a little bit, how important the tree is in this. But I was just seeing the root structure of this tree, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I can see this tree, but these roots are like massive, and it was like they were like covering the whole field. And then I thought back to the time when I did my like self-development work more on the surface, like always trying to manage my states, always trying to, you know, use a little bit of like a reprogramming of habits or thought patterns or whatever, you know, and it just never seemed to really stick until I started plugging in to my roots and discovering how deep they actually run. And I see so many men try and get nutrition only from the leaves, you know. It's like a very surface sort of, almost a meandering in different growth modalities and different things that we try out, so maybe for a while, you know. But in the end, there's always this sense that I found, and I know this is true for you as well, Colotto, that we just need to fucking keep doing the work. Otherwise, everything is just back to the way it was before we started. And that isn't powerful work. Powerful work actually leaves a permanent shift of consciousness deep inside of us. It happens yes. in the roots. If you need to keep fucking meditating every morning to be in more of a mastery of your mind, then something about the practice isn't really taking hold deep in the core of your being. So that's what I was thinking about when I watched this, or looked at this tree. We need to work on both ends of the spectrum, roots and leaves, both. And in terms of the Reclaim Your Inner Throne body work, it's really about roots. There's a little bit of leaves, but mainly it's roots. Does that resonate with you guys, Max and Colotto?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Would you say that is what made the difference for you guys?
Yeah, the first thing I'm thinking about is the roots is my body.
Yeah.
The body work. When I was too much in my head, I had all these ideas and blame games going on.
And when I connected to my body, it really, like, I could access my roots. They was there, but I haven't accessed my roots.
Yeah.
And that happened. Yes.
Great. Yeah.
If I were to take a quick shot at it, I mean, just from my gut, my sense is that you use the word surface, and there was a lot of intellectual and conceptual, but I just didn't have the depth of the work in the realm of the soul and in the realm of my body. And I think that this training is very distinct in the territory that you go into and the development that happens along the way. But absolutely, roots. Definitely. Right.
So, men, consider for a moment that you have roots like this oak tree. And see if you can feel them right now. So many men that I see don't exist from the heart down. They only exist from the heart up. Can you feel that lower part? So we're going to move now into purpose, power, and intimacy. These three pillars of masculinity, I really see what happens to a man when he isn't deeply sourced in these three. So purpose, the sense of knowing why I'm here. So like, I was born, like I'd like to think, for a reason. I choose to look at my life that way. And I believe that it's really the core challenge of a lifetime to discover why I'm here and then living from that place. And what seems to happen for a lot of men is we don't quite know. We just kind of end up taking a university training, or we kind of just end up at a workplace and it seems kind of okay and life is reasonably comfortable, but then ever so often there is that just anxious feeling at the periphery of our consciousness that I'm wasting my life. Mm-hmm. What the fuck am I doing? I know there's something more important than whatever, you know, what I'm doing. And when men don't have that sort of North Star, it's like there's a star guiding us, you know, like the wise men and the baby Jesus, you know, there's a star that we need to connect to. Otherwise, we simply don't have a navigation instrument, and we just wake up in the morning and it's like there is no deeper sense of context to my life. All sense of mystery and connection to like a deeper sense of meaning just vanishes. And it's all about, you know, making a cup of coffee and eating and brushing my teeth and what am I going to have for dinner? And, you know, what is on my to-do list at work today? And, you know, that's stuff that gets old eventually. And I imagine that when I'm speaking these words right now, a lot of you men are in the place where that seems very true. That my life isn't what I want it to be. So that's purpose. That's the king. Really, that's what we're working on reclaiming in this training? So there's power. Yeah. Power is such a contentious, I think is a word in English, taboo topic for men these days. It seems to me that a lot of men have somehow adopted the belief system that if they are powerful, they are inherently violent. Mm. And that being powerful is actually a form of abuse almost of the other. Mm. And in the process of sort of trying to adapt to this new man ideal of more postmodern cultures, which is like a totally wishy-washy wet cloth kind of a man, we have really lost touch with those lower parts of us. Really, a lot of this power is about roots, as far as I'm concerned. You can find this power in your solar plexus right now, if you go looking for it. And what I see is, you know how it screws men over. Men lose a sense of boundaries, both with men and with women. So it's not any more possible to be sort of as strongly expressed in a relationship with a woman. Because first of all, I'm afraid of being violent to her. Maybe I'm afraid of being considered a rapist or something like that. Like, they may not be strong fears, but subtly a lot of us are carrying these fears. And then it seems to me that a lot of men end up living half lives where they're not fully expressed in intimate relationship, which we'll get to soon. But I'm curious to hear a little bit about your take on this power issue, Max Nicolotto. And I want to say before we move on to that, if at any time there is a question from the audience, I'm very open to receiving it in chat. I want this to be a dialogue. Mm. Did you have anything, Max?
Yeah, I when you said that, it's the first thing that popped to mind is it's like this timidity, like we want to walk on eggshells as men, we don't want to offend anyone, and the image isn't one of an organic strength or a connection to real power. It's sort of this being really nice, being really polite, overcompensating, almost being apologetic about being a man.
Yes.
And because there's the tipping of the scale, of course, is the whole machismo kind of overcompensating with for all the insecurities that we feel, but we've gone too far the other way. And you talked about a rooted power, and that is so essential to feeling like we're complete under the hood as a man. There's that we've almost like cut ourselves off at the knees in a very real sense in the culture. That's held up as normal, and most guys are miserable with that as being, well, this is how you're supposed to behave and show up in the world.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely with you on that one, bro. Definitely.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I could recognize my own story in it, but I didn't know I was fucked. I didn't know it.
Mm.
And that scares me a bit, right? So, well, what I have to work with was my pleaser, role,
mm.
and seeking approval from woman. So I gave away my throne to woman, and they have to accept me and say I'm good looking, I'm a nice guy, and I'm good in bed, and yes. So really, when I was working with this program and reclaiming this power, and it was quite scary actually, because I had to say no to woman, And that, that was like saying no to my mother.
Yeah.
Shit, that scares me really much. And, but I, it was like I was taking the power back to myself. And I wasn't drained in front of women, not even in front of beautiful women. And that was a really big gift to me. Yes.
Here's
reclaiming my power. Yes.
Yeah. Here's what I'm experiencing so strongly in my life right now. It's how hungry women are for this part of us.
Mm.
They're like desperate to receive it.
So true.
But here's the difference, guys. If the power that we bring isn't sourced not only in the lower parts, but also in our heart region, we just become violent.
Yes.
Mm. Women don't want violence. They want power.
Mm.
And so when you...
Can you say a bit more about different kind of violence? The first thing is physical violence. Is there other
violence is when I'm being assertive and like I'm, let's say I want to lead a woman. I'm telling her in a sense what to do, but I do it from a place of say, if you don't do it, I'm going to get really fucking angry or I'll be really triggered or whatever.
Okay.
It actually comes from, you know, I'm feeling into her, I'm feeling into me, and there is a meeting point. And then from that place, I intuit, I know what's required, and I bring my power.
Right.
And this isn't easy at first, right? But we'll get to this, especially on the training, man.
Sounds like an experience I really just had.
Wonderful. Yeah, I get this more and more as I just, well, I actually have women saying they want me to rape them. And it's obviously not that they want to be raped, but there is something deep inside of a woman that can feel safe when the man is comfortable with that part of him, the darkness, the sort of the fiery blood that runs in our masculine veins.
Right. Mm.
And some
That's
women...
That's ravishing, isn't it?
Pardon?
That's ravishing.
I think David Deida, that's what he calls it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah.
It's not rape.
Yeah, that's how he separates it, isn't it? Hmm. So let's move into intimacy, yeah. So power is the warrior. What's funny?
Just because it's the hot button. The minute you say intimacy, my whole body goes, yeah, I want that. So I was laughing at Carl O because he immediately was like, yes, let's do that.
So you're like, yeah, man, let's have some intimacy here. Cool. Well, that speaks to the fact that both of you have activated your inner lovers.
Mm. Yes, definitely. It feels so sweet.
Mm.
And actually, I really want to point out that the intimacy, it goes into myself.
Yeah.
And I get intimate with myself and my vulnerability and really trust my feelings and trust my heart. Everything's open.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And then I can be present. But it starts with myself, as my experience.
It has to.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
So, I want to suggest to you men who are here that you feel into that quality right now. If it's even available, is it possible for you to be intimate with yourself? like on your own team. There's so much shame running around in men these days. Incredible mountains of shame. Notice if you start feeling like restless, or if it actually feels good. I want to return to these three soon. I haven't really spoken much about intimacy yet. Here's something that I think you'd find, you know, useful at this point. Because these three pillars, we can practice them. It is possible to do intimacy practices and to do embodiment practices and so on and so forth. But here's the deal. We have only three archetypes here. Purpose is king, power is warrior, intimacy is lover. The key to the Reclaim Your Inner Throne body of work is the process of initiation. So try on this, that power, one of the qualities of power, seeing as we're talking about the warrior archetype, is presence. We can't have real authentic power without having real strong presence. And we can be working hard to build presence with meditation practice. But that meditation practice, unless we have been initiated in some way or another into our soul, into the depths of our being, the meditation practice will remain like a thin layer of spirituality on top of like a mountain of repressed shit. Right? So here we do meditation, and the minute we don't meditate, we're addicted as fuck. This is true for most of us. So where did that meditation go? I mean, we do it. Maybe some of you are meditators and maybe some of you aren't. But what is going on here? I mean, this has been really, really true in my life. I know that you resonate with this, Carlotto. So do you resonate with it as well, Max?
Absolutely. Mm. Especially when you talked about, again, it's like that veneer. You try to cover it up. You try to, you know, keep the discipline around your life, but it's like a it's almost like what's the word I'm struggling for? It's as though you have to be ever vigilant, or else the rapist killer is going to get out. Like there's no knowledge of ourselves at a level or an experience of our power in a way where we are. We can be trusted with it, and we trust that part of ourselves enough.
Yeah.
So we're always trying to slather on some spiritual practice to keep it at bay. That's how it feels, and that's been my experience.
It's the story of my life, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I did that throughout my 20s.
It's like putting leaves on a tree.
Yeah. So here's the deal. And I'm going to share a little bit from the training itself right now. There are a lot of practices in the realm of these three archetypes in Reclaim Your Inner Throne. But they only arrive after a fierce initiation into the magician territory. Because what happens in magician territory is death. I'm not going to censor that. It's a death. you are put face to face with all of the things that you've been running away from for your whole life and trying to manage with all kinds of spiritual practices that never seem to make much of a difference. So the magician is like, if you look at the magician archetype in myth, it's a ritual elder. You can envision like a shaman or something right now. In fact, I would invite you right now, since my bandwidth is terrible, I can't put a picture that I'd really love to share with you up. But right now, just take a moment to feel into the quality of an elder. It's like that man who can take you into the depths of yourself, into the mystery of your being. That's initiation. And boys have been exposed to that in all cultures that I know of in ancient times. And they knew that unless you did that, the tribe would be screwed. Because the boys would never turn into men and the tribe would die. And there is an African proverb saying that unless you initiate the young into the village, they will burn it down just to feel the heat. And that's the kind of energy that we actually have in us as men until the time when we have been initiated, which is why I think a lot of us are afraid of the more primal parts of our masculinity, because there is something destructive in us. There really is. I want us all, you know, to really face up to the fact that having loads of testosterone running through our veins actually makes a difference. And we need to be with that in a way that serves the world and ourselves. And collapsing into apathy and exploding into some sort of sadism are both, yeah, not to be recommended. So there are several weeks on this training where you are stripped to the core. And I'd love for you men to speak about that now, Colotto. What was that like for you?
Oh. To be stripped. To die. I don't know where to begin. I had a lot of... Actually, I was writing and talking with Max about this. I had this inner desperado, which I came to know through a song by a band called Eagles. This inner desperado who was always building fences and I didn't let anybody love me. And I was so sad, but I couldn't do anything. And this desperado, he was also my addict. He was an alcoholic. He was a porn abuser, a woman's. I don't know. And this was this ritual when we was to lay down on the floor. Is it okay if I tell this?
I'm not sure. Let me feel into that. Keep it a little mysterious. I don't want that to come out yet. It's not that I don't want the men to have the opportunity to do it, but I want them to have the context.
Okay.
I want that to happen after being really put into the territory.
Right.
But you went through a process of...
Yes, I went through a process when I had to let go of these things, and that was also that was an exercise, a meditative exercise, and there was also some burials. I have to bury somebody, and also bury some part of me, and kill some part of me. Mm. And that was violent, actually, but refreshing. actually, to allow myself to slash somebody open, in my fantasy, of course, to get in contact with this inner killer, and I wasn't killing them. I was killing their imprint in my mind and how I should live and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I could cut the cable somehow. And then I didn't have to stick to my addiction. I was very addicted to getting likes on Facebook, for example. I tried to be the sweet and the clever guy on Facebook. So I really had an eye opener, and I could leave different kind of addictions.
Mm. Mm. I really like the way you're speaking right now, Coletto.
Hmm.
You seem to be sourced in something like really core in yourself.
Hmm. I'm totally calm. In the beginning of the calling, I was really excited. I didn't know if I was nervous or if I was excited, but now I feel strong in my stomach.
I feel that.
Mm.
I feel that.
Yeah.
And I remember doing the training and letting go of the occupants of my throne and reclaiming it. It was really, really coming home. Maybe for the first time in my life.
Mm.
And
did you reclaim it?
Well, it's out of sight sometimes. Some days I can't find it, but I know how to get there.
Mm.
I have my rituals, I have my exercises. I know what to do. I can choose.
Mm.
I can choose to go back and stay. And that feels really, really powerful, and in integrity with my purpose. Yes.
Noticing how I'm slowing down inside of me when I'm listening to you.
Hmm.
Like my energy has been running a bit fast.
Hmm.
In a way that I've not really enjoyed.
Hmm.
And I'm starting to feel my roots more.
Mm.
It's like, again, I'm just reminded of how this work always comes freshly sourced from the mystery. There is no prepackaged solution ever to this.
Mm.
Mm. And that unless in teaching this, we get to be constantly surprised by what we teach. I don't want to teach.
Mm. Well, actually, if you're just living the learning, you are a teacher, I think.
Yeah.
By just being it, you are serving your men. I think it's really powerful.
Yeah. I feel my heart more.
Mm.
I was listening to the two of you and could feel myself coming back to that dying and recognizing that I would grab this role that I thought somebody wanted me to play, like the Boy Scout or church boy or the badass or the rebel or the intelligent one, the academic one, always playing these roles. But none of it, and I mean, not, man, I feel that. none of it was me. It was all oriented from looking desperately for external approval, praise, appreciation, and the pat on the back. And those roots go much deeper, and there's no cost other than my willingness to die to all that shit that I've built around my life that I bow my knee to. And I give so much energy trying to prop that front up because I just don't want people to see the cracks. But the truth of the matter is this process takes me right into that collapse, right into that dying, because there's something desperately wanting to be reborn that I am stifling and quelling because I won't let it go. I won't let it be consumed. I won't just let it be what it is, which is it's a corpse.
Yeah. Mm. There's something very powerful in what you're saying right now, Max, that I want to emphasize, and I imagine it might ruffle some feathers. But what I'm realizing more and more is that most people don't actually want to change. They just say they do. Mm. Because it's comfortable to live with the lie of wanting to change, even though I don't want to change. Because there's so much of my identity that's been propped up by all of these negative habits and all of these ways of being in the world. And if I let go of that, then who the fuck am I? Yes. You know, and that's why this is actually a death.
Who am I?
Like, there is something that dies. Like, Steven, I like the way that Steven said it. He said that he could distinctly remember one point in the training when there was a young part, like an immature part of him, that started dying, and a new, more mature, deeper part of him that started to be born. And for him, it was a visceral process, like something, I don't think this is possible to put into words, but something just started shifting deep inside of him.
That resonated with me, that really, really strong. Mm.
If I can throw out one word because it fits and in the context, someone might hear this, but I think that you men, if you let this sit with you, it's a midwifing process. It's a birthing process. It's a dying process. And that's what gives it its power. It's not a makeover. Mm-hmm. It's just the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not another layer of veneer. Or another diploma or certification.
Mm. There's much more. So much more. Actually, I was thinking about paying the price. Mm. Not willing to pay the price. Not willing to let go of the self-centered ego. But actually, I in my life... when I was about to stop drinking, I had a calling. I don't know where it come from, but I heard a calling, like from deep inside. Maybe it was my king who was calling me and telling me, Carlotto, you have to come alive. You have to shape up, or you're going to die. And that was all my life, And I heard this voice several times during the course, like a support deep inside of me. Like there was some reassurance, this is going to be okay, this is going to work. Even if I hated the program, I hated Ivan and the exercises, and I didn't do a lot of the exercises. But there was something pushing me.
Why?
Or dragging me.
I was loving you. Why did you hate me?
I was just externalizing my own anger. Yes. But anyway, there was this there was this calling from somewhere, and maybe it's the father of my purpose or whatever. Like there was something calling for me. I had to come alive. I have to be present to myself first and deal with my life and deal with the world. Yeah. And serve the world and not my bullshit. Yeah. And that was like some voices in my head and or in my body, and it dragged me through. It dragged me through the course.
Great. I'm mindful of time. I want to open the lines to the men a little bit at the end, but we haven't done the theme of the conversation even nearly any kind of justice, to be honest. But we've touched on some important things, and I want to read something that comes from David White, who is a British and English poet and one of my main sources of inspiration. And while I don't have a personal relationship with him, I do consider him a mentor. And he is very focused on this concept that he calls the conversational nature of reality. And this conversation is like an alive kind of thing. The minute you freeze things, the minute you define things too much, they become too rigid, the conversation ends. So he becomes like the proponent for allowing yourself to be surprised by life, allowing yourself to be surprised by work, allowing yourself to feel something you've never felt before. Unless we do these things, we are already a little dead. And this is a passage from one of the CDs. I really love this, and I want to read it to you guys.
Thank you.
I think without this element of grateful surprise, the human mechanism eventually begins to run down. Because you start doing your work only from a point of view of willful application, which is the standard mode for most men that I've worked with. You are using your energies, your will, your strategies to keep something going. But there is no inner contract, no invisible forces supporting you. And you actually feel as if you're working upstream every single day. And there are millions of people across the US and the world who are living what Thoreau calls lives of quiet desperation, where their daily life and the complexities of daily life takes an enormous willful reservoir of energy, which is not replaced. And instead of waking up into a day of grace, where there is a possibility of being gifted, of being surprised, they wake into a day in which they feel they cannot possibly complete everything, cannot possibly measure up. I think that describes 95% of the men in the world. And I've really designed this training to shift that whole dynamic.
Oh. Oh.
I'm going to other questions. If you have questions, please raise your hand. I will see a little hand in the panel. You can ask for details about what we've been talking about the course, or you can even receive a little coaching. No hands yet. Here's Liam. Okay, Liam, you're on.
Yeah, I just wanted to know a little bit more about in terms of what we would expect from the training. You mentioned this kind of this death, this rebirth, and you didn't go too much into the actual process. What could someone who goes through this process, what could they expect thereafter as an experience within themselves?
Yeah, thank you. I like that question. What I expect that you would experience is a dramatically, it's like your pipes get cleaned in a way. Because the way that most of us live our lives, we are so distracted and so addicted. Uh-huh. And one of the most important mechanisms that we use in order to go into these places is by really stripping away our addictions. And what happens when we do that, Liam, is that all of the stuff that we haven't been wanting to feel actually surfaces. But we don't only strip away our addictions, we do it inside of an archetypal mythological container that gives context to it, that really enables a man to connect the process to a deeper storyline that, so you will also, I would expect that you would feel like you start to become more at home in the world, like there is a place distinctly yours in this universe, and that you can start feeling that unless you give that gift, then the world is being robbed in some way. Okay. So you will experience a more of a sense of a connection. You will experience more presence in your life because you are being forced into an encounter with the things that you have been running away from. And there's always the X factor that I can't really speak to right now. Does that answer your question?
It does do very much so. Sounds like a scary kind of confronting that, but I suppose necessary in one's own development and progress.
There is a week on the training that I've simply called, at least for the previous round, facing the Balrog.
Okay.
Carlotta really enjoys that name.
Yes. He's a good guy. The Balrog is a good guy.
Every time Carlotta gets excited, he says, "Let's take on the Balrog."
Yeah. Yes, let's face the motherfucker.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for your question. One more. Consider that you asking a question that matters to you in this moment is part of your training. Or maybe nothing is alive for you.
It's going to cost, you know.
What are you speaking to, Carlotta? What's it going to cost?
It's going to cost to ask a question, to say something. I remember from the course there was this eerie silence. Nobody dared to say something or ask something.
Yeah.
And even I didn't... even try to ask, and when somebody finally asks something, they really got the good service of having the best answer ever from all the guys and from you, Ivan. So it's really worth it.
Yeah,
there's only one stupid question. That's the one you never ask.
The stupid questions tend to be the best ones because they're actually the wisest ones. That's my experience.
Well, yeah.
because they don't have so many layers of concepts.
Okay.
All right, we are approaching the end. The 4 minutes left of the scheduled time, and I want to end on time, actually. So Max and Coloto, having been on this training, why should a man do it?
Ooh. One word?
If you can do it in one word, you can feel free to.
I was thinking about the word coward.
Mm. Wow.
Yes.
I felt that one. What do you mean?
Well, I have a big coward, and I'm pleasing my coward so many times, and I've done it for the most of my life. Mm. But to face my coward was my biggest gift.
Mm.
That's it.
What did it give you?
My life. Yes.
Did you get your life back from this training? Is that what you're saying?
It all come together. I had some kind of life. I've been practicing a lot of meditation and journaling and meetings and AA meetings, several thousand meetings. So I've done a lot of cleaning, but I haven't put it all together.
Yeah.
Mm. And this training, like, it connected all the dots for me and I felt congruent in my life. And that felt like I was coming alive. I was not divided or splinter, what's it called. Mm. Mm. So if you feel like you are indecisive, hard to take decisions, or if you are afraid of intimacy, fear of being rejected, feeling like you're wasting your life, wasting your time, feeling like there is some calling deep down. Try to check in on this deeper call. Science. And listen in peace.
Mm-hmm.
There is a voice who's reaching out for you.
Here's my truth, man. Thank you, Coloto. Here's my truth. When I launched this training, I didn't know if it was going to be a success. I didn't know if it was going to be good enough. There were many doubts that I had in my head.
Mm.
It turned out to be a training that, like a huge part of the participants, say it's the most powerful training they've ever done. And I imagine that so many men actually have similar gifts to offer the world, but they don't quite cross that threshold that I crossed. They don't quite dare to feel the insecurity of being rejected, of, you know, is it good enough, whatever.
Mm.
And today, only like just over half a year later, I'm holding this to be true, that this is one of the, if not the most powerful online training you can take for yourself. I've moved that far in that amount of time, and it did require me to go on a journey like this. And it's the same kind of journey that you will go on with us. And I want to make clear that I'm so fucking committed to you guys if you take this training. It's not like a part-time activity for me. It's not something that I do half-heartedly. I live this with you guys. I'm in it fully with you. And Coloto and Max, I imagine, will have similar feelings about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you will have so much support. You will have teleseminars weekly. The scheduled one is 8:30 Central European time. There may be another one on Monday, Central European time. There may be another one, depending on need. I don't know yet. There will be a weekly coaching call where you can bring your questions. There's a course portal full of really you know, nutritious information, like information that will feed you on a deep level. There's a community platform where you have profiles and you can speak with the men. You will have a triad where you work closely together with two other men for 3 months and build incredible brotherhood, like Max and Carlotta also experienced. So, you know, absolute minimum, you need 4 hours a week. I recommend more, like recommend 6, because this isn't just a training, actually. It becomes the context of your life for 3 months. And it will actually impact the way that you see pretty much everything. So it is a commitment. And it is a commitment that is going to change your life. And I say that with confidence. So right now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to sign up for essentially half price. And the reason I'm doing that is that as a course leader, I can feel the stress of, you know, filling up a training. So you will give me peace of mind. That's one thing. You know, really, it's like cool. when there is such an emphasis for me on like filling the training, I don't like that energy. I want to be more in giving mode. And sometimes, you know, there's a little bit of that. So you will be giving that to me. And you will also be giving me material early on in the process of hosting this training that I can use. I will start, you know, connecting with you guys, and I will start feeling into what's moving out there. So you will be serving me, and, you know, I promised to myself that I'll offer at least 10 of these. And I don't guarantee how many more days we're going to have before we reach that. But I imagine not very many days before we reach 10. So essentially, what I'm going to be doing right now is to say to you that I can guarantee you this price for 1 hour only. And here's the deal. After you sign up to the training, we will have to interview you, because we don't take just anyone on this training. We want you to have an amazing experience and have amazing things to share about the training afterwards. So if we have a suspicion that you don't have what it takes to complete the journey, then we don't want you to come on it. We will actually say, we don't think the time is right for you, and here's your money back. Welcome back later. And I see that as a service to you and a service to the other men on the training. This means that, you know, you're not guaranteed to come on the training by buying now, but you have a very big chance. So you will be speaking with Max or Colorado, and after that we will make the decision, and you will either be accepted on the training or you will have a refund. So that's the terms that we have, men. And I don't have a screen up. So here's the link that I'm going to be giving you where you can enroll. So right now in the chat, there is a URL. And you just have to click on choose your plan at the bottom of the page. And then you'll get a discount code that is guaranteed to be valid for 1 hour from now. I'm writing it into chat now. That is your discount code. If you have questions that you want answered, you can go to the Facebook group. Going to open that now. Here's the Facebook group where you can ask questions. So now I'm going to unmute everyone, and if there are any questions alive in the group, please ask them. What will happen an hour from now is that discount code, I will take that down. And it will be changed to a, well, the discount code will remain, but it will not be as big. Okay, man. It doesn't seem like you have any questions.
Actually, Haven, I have a question. I used the hand icon instead. Maybe you didn't see.
Oh, yes, I wasn't scrolled there. Hi, Kjetil.
Hi. So I have one question that's really strong in my mind now, and that is this safe? I'm actually feeling worried about my emotional and to agree my physical safety in this.
Can I speak to that just because I've been through the training and I had similar misgivings at the beginning?
Please.
Thank you. So, for me, I'm a Mankind Project warrior, and safety is something, psychic safety, emotional safety for a man doing his work is always emphasized in all of that work. So that's my context when we're talking about safety. What I would offer you is there was never a point where I felt like I was being pushed, bullied, or dragged into something, and I always felt held and felt understood and safe, both in the teleconferences and in the work that was done. It was deep work. It was work that challenged me. It was work that took me to my edge, and there were points where I was pissed off, where I was in a bad mood, where it stirred up shit that I really wanted to kind of leave sleeping dogs lie. But there wasn't one single time throughout the coursework or the triad or the work that I was doing in the curriculum as I was journaling where I felt like I was in a place where I felt threatened or I was going to come unglued in a way that I was out of touch with being sane. It's not that kind of a container or that kind of an experience. It's an experience where all of the things I had put in place to cover up the pain were moved aside, and I was in touch with grief. And the men I was working with, talking to, connecting with, understood that, and there was a real sense of brotherhood. Is it safe? In my judgment, absolutely. It's extremely safe. And you have the support of a team around you that if you're committed to yourself – the three of us are committed to you. We're not going to allow you to get into a space and a headspace where, you know, it's like that we're insensitive or callous. I think that my sense was there was a lot of compassion but deep honesty and truth, and that really said it all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'd like to go out on a limb and speak to that a little bit myself. I do place a great deal of importance on safety. And I also have a strong felt sense that we need somehow to take what happens in a safe container into the outside world at one point. So while I'm incredibly focused on safety, as Max has just confirmed, I am flirting a little with the boundaries in terms of, you know, this needs to take root in your life. So I'm actually holding that intention as well, that I'm not wanting to keep this like a sealed container where everybody gets to feel really safe and comfortable. No, it's actually supposed to be challenging at times, because this is life. This isn't just like another training, as far as I'm concerned. And when there is that question that comes up in you, Max just left. Okay. My gut feeling is that you're already sensing that this training is going to change you. But not in a way of like you need to be fixed, but in a way that you get to sort of open in a way that's completely natural.
Hey guys, this is Justin again. I just have one question. It's actually about the payment. If you can't afford the payment up front, will there be any other options in the future to maybe do monthly payments or for people that are financially struggling a little bit?
Let's take that offline, Justin. Let's do that conversation on Facebook. You can send a message to the Reclaim Your Inner Throne page on Facebook right now.
Okay, thank you.
And we have that conversation offline, so. Do you want to do the training, Justin?
Oh, yes. Hell yes.
That makes me excited.
Yeah, I mean, I feel there's a sense of fear there, but I'm starting to learn that sometimes that's a good thing.
Yes, it is. It is. The fear and the excitement is, that's good gasoline. Maybe I was thinking about the price and this is a lifelong training. Okay, it's for 3 months, but this is for life. You change for life, and that is a long-term investment in my view.
Yeah.
So if it feels really really right to you, grab them some money. We'll find the money. That's not the problem. The problem is sometimes you're not willing to pay the price in yourself to change. So it will work out, I'm sure.
Okay. I like the way that sounds.
I think it's worth noting here that both Max and Carlotto have had big shifts in their business after attending this training.
Yes, I've been much more committed and really come in alignment with my purpose in this changing men to or turning men into their true masculinity. I've gone from being only in Denmark to I made an English website, and I do this Skype coaching all over the world now. And that's a big step for me.
Yeah. And Max had a promotion at work and was put into a position of leadership and is now going to head a whole new branch of the company and is also taking up leadership of Mankind Project in Florida after doing this. And he also
has leadership in his relationship with his woman.
Yeah. He's changed his relationship with his wife, yeah.
Well.
Yeah, you change from the inside out. And when you change on the inside, everything changes. If you're willing to do the work.